الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Session 2 of da'wah to the Christians. In our last week's session, alhamdulillah, we discussed some of the preliminary conditions prior to giving da'wah to Christians. And we stressed the concept of observing and making sure that we do not hurt their feelings. We explained to them the consequences of using emotions as means of understanding things, as opposed to intellect, and we stressed a lot the idea that we try to have them use their intellect and not their emotions. Malish, every time someone types something, you see me pausing a little bit because I'm forced to read, and then I lose my thought. So I kindly ask everyone to avoid typing unless required or asked to do so. Malish, have to be patient with me. I'm one of these annoying speakers. But I'm maybe 1 out of 10. So just deal with this one, the other 9 and probably have no issues. Today, or tonight, depending on where you are in the world, we would like to continue our discussion on how to invite Christians to Islam. And I would like to do so. One of the effective ways that I personally have found practical and adequate, you may agree or disagree, I'm not imposing this on anyone by any means, but a personal suggestion, one of the things that I found effective is giving them da'wah in the light of a Quranic ayah which is supported and fortified and strengthened by a biblical verse. And needless to say, this ayah along with this biblical verse aim at a single objective. That objective is to prove to the Christian that Jesus denied divinity. Remember, I told you that the common belief among the Christians, the dogma among the Christians, is that, I mean, Christianity is primarily based on 3 fundamental principles: original sin, divinity of Jesus, the death of the Son of God, Jesus, on the cross, and His resurrection, which served the purpose of atonement and redemption from sin, therefore rendering everyone who accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior salvation, rendering them as those who have found and acquired salvation, and subsequently they will be permitted to paradise. We don't believe that, but that's what is predominantly taught in Christendom. So we said that all of these 3 concepts are logically rejected, biblically rejected, and historically rejected, and sure enough, Islamically rejected. Neither one of them is sound. Not the concept that you were born with sin, meaning, as they say, they call it the hereditary sin, or the first sin, the fact that you were born having inherited the sin of Adam and Eve, who consumed a fruit from a tree which Allah had forbidden for them to consume. So they say everybody was born in that state of sin, and the only way you can enter paradise is by cleansing yourself from that sin. That cannot happen unless God becomes a man, he kills himself to please himself, And that divine blood will expiate that original sin. When you accept it, you go to heaven. Very complicated, very sophisticated, very nonsensical, but it is accepted by a billion people or so on earth. So that's an issue. That is an issue. So original sin, we said in the book of Ezekiel, it clearly explicitly says, the father shall not bear the sin of the son, and the son shall not bear the sin of the father. You hear that? The righteousness of the righteous is for themselves, and the wickedness of the wicked is for themselves. However, whoever falls into sin, then returns to God, then he will not be held accountable for his sins, and he will be forgiven. Just like you know it in Islam. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. And no soul shall carry the burden of another. And the Bible says, you don't carry the sin of your father, the father doesn't carry your sin, each one is responsible for his own self. Same teachings. But they had to invent the original sin in order to make everything make sense. Still doesn't make sense. The next point they usually the Christianity revolves around is that of the divinity of Jesus. And they say, Jesus, they have conflicting opinions. Either they say Jesus is the begotten Son of God, or they say Jesus is God Himself. Some of them say He's God incarnate, meaning God, the incarnation of God in man. Some say that Jesus is, of course, and predominantly Trinity. He's one of the three in the Holy Trinity. So you have the Father, who's a God, the Son, who's a God, and the Holy Spirit, who's a God. However, they say these three gods who are co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent are not three gods, but somehow they remain and maintain and they remain to be one God. All of these are also false. Jesus was no more than a messenger. Many messengers came before him. Many messengers preceded Jesus, peace be upon him. He had miracles specific to him, like Moses had miracles specific to him, like Abraham had miracles specific to him, and like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had miracles specific to him. He was aided by divine miracles, meaning God did miracles through him, as means of proving to the people that he is a man of God, he's not a liar, he's not an imposter, he's not a fabricator, he's not a devil trying to mislead the people. God supported them with evidences, with proofs, with miracles, so that people can believe the man of God. I will begin by quoting the Quranic ayah. As I mentioned to you before, we are encouraged to learn the Quran before the Bible. The Quran before the Bible. لأن القرآن مهيمن عليه. The Quran is superior, is dominant over any other revelation, specifically ones that have been altered and distorted. Had they been in their mint condition, preserved, untouched, the Quran would still be the superior reference and nothing else would be used as means of guidance. Let alone the fact that the books have been distorted, changed, many versions have come about, then ultimately the Quran is unchallenged when it comes to quotations and citing evidences and proofs. So the Muslim should learn the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then if you would like to support that with some biblical verses, wonderful, wonderful. But don't learn the whole Bible while being ignorant of the Quran. That's not good either. That's not good either. Fine. Because some of those who have done so, may Allah have mercy on them and accept them among their righteous servants, some of those who we love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, who had some errors, like everybody has errors, but in terms of the da'wah they did to the Christians, they've done some amazing things. Still, because of the lack of knowledge of the Quran, many opportunities were missed out on, wherein the Quran could have been quoted to decisively and to conclude a debate or a dialogue or a discussion, because of a clear-cut evidence in the Quran that the speaker did not know. That the speaker did not know. So knowing the Quran is fundamental. Type. So what do we know about Surah Maryam? The chapter of Mary herself. We all know that after she conceived Jesus miraculously through the angel Gabriel, no man touched her. And Mary conceived Jesus and she became pregnant, of course, and she went through the difficulty of childbirth. When she went through the difficulty of childbirth, and Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, through the angel directed her to go to a tree, and she shook the tree and she ate some palm tree, and she ate some dates, and finally she was told, she went to her people, and Allah says in the Quran, فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ. Mary came to her people, the Jews, carrying him. Carrying who? Carrying Jesus. قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتِ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. They said, "Oh Mary, you have brought something outrageous." What is this? What is this, oh Mary, daughter of Imran? How can you have a baby when you've never been married before? مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ امْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةً. Oh, sister of Aaron, in righteousness, your father wasn't an evil man, nor was your mother a wicked woman. How do you have a child? Now I want you to realize the gravity of this situation, okay? Let us try to apply it today. For the brothers or the sisters, let's say you had a sister. And the sister, you knew of her nothing but good. You knew nothing but good of your own sister, your own blood sister. And one day, she comes home with a child. You say, hey, what is this? She says, I don't know. I was sleeping, and I've never been with a man. I just found myself pregnant, and now I'm a mother. How many of you will believe? Huh? She can swear. Look, I swear. I didn't touch. I don't have a boyfriend. I haram. I don't go out with men. I wasn't raped. Nothing. I was just one day I woke up pregnant. How many would believe? No one. Say, nah, liar. Even if you trust her and you never thought she would lie, and you know you have full confidence in her, you know what? This one is difficult to swallow. The average person will belie his own sister, say, no, you can't tell me you got pregnant by yourself just like that. This is your own sister, let alone your neighbor. If the neighbor made such a claim, that's way out. Fight. So now, Mary had that happen to her. With who? The Jews. Oh, the most difficult of people on earth. Subhanallah. Not the easiest people to deal with at all. You know what they did to Moses? So now how is she going to explain to these people that, look, I just became pregnant through an angel who came and did this and so on and so forth. And you know, the problem is that typing is killing me. Fine, I'll work it out. The people will not accept. So they said, and as soon as they seen her with the baby, they said, "Oh, daughter of Aaron, oh, sister of Aaron, what? Your father was a good man, your mother was a good woman. How in the world are you pregnant? How in the world do you have a child already?" So now here, this is the point that we need to internalize and understand. This is a da'wah element that the Christians don't have. Here, as we Muslims believe, Jesus performed his first miracle, which is not found in the Bible, not found in the whole Christian world, in the whole of Christendom. You will not find any references to this event. It is strictly from Allah Azza wa Jal. And of course, it is correct. So learn this one. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ So Mary pointed at the babe. She pointed at Jesus. يعني, speak to him. Because earlier, what was she asked to do? وَإِمَّا تَرَيَنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا She was told earlier, and if you come across any human being, say, I have vowed to God fasting, so I shall not speak to any person today. So she fasted from speech. She wouldn't speak. She became mute. So she had sign language. She pointed at the baby. Got a baby in her arm. She comes to the Jews. They say, what is this? How do you have a baby? She points at him. قالوا كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا? How are we to speak to a baby in the cradle? How often do you have children born? And as soon as the child is born, it says, hey, give me milk, 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 I want milk. Have you ever seen a baby do that? When was the last time a child, was born, and as soon as they were born, they started having conversations with people. Hey, where's my mother? Then he tells the nurse, hey, give me my mother. I need to speak to her now. Or, give me milk, where's my milk? Or where's my dad? I need to go home. Children don't speak, and if they did, the nurse will throw him on the ground. Yani, if he was speaking and the nurse had a baby and he started speaking, she will probably throw him on the floor. She will freak out. What is this? Children don't speak. Infants don't speak. Not children. I'm saying children speak, of course. Infants, newborn babies do not speak. They cry. They don't speak. So she points at him. This is in the Quran, in Surah Maryam. So they said, Mary, how are we going to speak to a baby in the cradle? How are we going to speak to a newborn infant? Here, Jesus performed his first miracle, besides him being born miraculously. That's a miracle in and of itself. But his own, the one that Allah gave him directly, and he made the statement on which we are basing this class today. The first statement Jesus ever said, قال إني عبد الله قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا Here, Jesus said, the first thing he said, إني, verily, without a doubt, أنا, إني عبد الله, verily, إني is a combination, verily, I am, إني, which is أنا, and the yeah of the speaker, I am Abdu, slave Allah, the slave of Allah. I am the slave of Allah. Not the son of Allah, not the incarnation of Allah, and none of that. I am the slave of Allah. Atani al-kitab, he has given me the book, the scripture, the gospel. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا And he made me a prophet. And he made me blessed wherever I may be. And he enjoined upon me prayer and charity as long as I'm alive. And he made me dutiful to my mother. And he did not make me a wicked, wretched man. The point here is Jesus saying, I am the slave of Allah. The Christians say, no, he is the son of Allah. And Allah says in the Quran that Jesus, the first thing he said was, I am the slave of Allah. So when you tell the Christians, look, the Quran, the book of Allah is more reliable. We should refer to it before we do to any other book, even the Bible, because it's the only preserved book. And in the Quran, Allah said that Jesus was teaching the people. In fact, the very first thing he ever taught anyone was that he is a slave of Allah. And a slave and a son are not synonymous. No one has had a slave that was the son. If he's your son, he's honored. If he's your slave, he's not in the world. With Allah, it's a whole other discussion. Allah doesn't have children, so that doesn't even, you know, work. So they say, yeah, but, you know, say, listen, fine, I will prove it to you from the Bible. I will give you, to the Christian, some biblical references which support my Quranic reference to see that what Allah taught back at the time of Jesus remains to a large degree available even in the Bible. And the Quran affirmed both. So if I prove to you from the Bible statements that are harmonious with the Quran and you still reject, that truly means that you don't believe in God, you don't follow His revelation, you follow your own made religion. You have invented your own religion and you want to accept God on your own terms. And God doesn't work this way. God doesn't work this way. God is not on your own terms. You are on the terms of God. You and I have to accept God on His terms, not on our terms. So, what do you quote? This particular incident is quoted by two Gospels. Memorize it. Write it down if you need to, so you can refer to it later. And of course, the variations and versions have variations in wordings, and perhaps I'm referring to the King James Version or the American Standard. I don't know which one I have memorized, one of them. Anywho, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. And the same incident is narrated by Mark in his Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. I repeat, Matthew chapter 19 verses 16 and 17, and Mark in his Gospel chapter 10 verses 17 and 18. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful incident, beautiful incident. You know, just showing the truth, only the truth and nothing but the truth, but the people don't like the truth. That's the people don't like the truth. It says, and behold, one came to him. A man came to Jesus. And he said, oh, good master. In some of the translations, oh, good teacher. What thing shall I do to enter into the eternal life? What thing shall I do to enter into the eternal life? Now, here, we need to make some comments. First, the fact that a man was seeking guidance from Jesus. A man came to Jesus seeking guidance. Now, do we know from the prophets, do we know of them, the tendency to joke with people seeking guidance? No. Prophets do not joke at the time of giving people direction and guidance to God. And the popular story that is common among the Muslims, that a woman came to Prophet ﷺ and told him, you know, something about Jannah, and he told her, no, old woman will not enter Jannah. A woman, something about something, old woman will not enter Jannah, so she started crying. And then when she walked away, he called and said, no, you know, everyone will enter young. no old woman will enter Jannah. They will only be young. And this particular narration is weak. This is a weak narration. So we know from the prophets that at the time of need, they don't play games. Why? They are people chosen by God to deliver the message of God, and the message of God is a serious matter dealing with salvation. Doesn't mean that there are no jokes at all. But in such situations, then the matter is strictly business. It's seriousness, professionalism. Second comment is the fact that the man addressed Jesus by saying, "Good Master." And the third comment is that the man asked about eternal life. What we can deduce from that is the following. Jesus was called by the man Good Master. Now, according to Christianity today, according to church, Jesus should have, pay attention to my choice of words now, Jesus should have or could have said the following: I am good. I am the good master, the son of the good master. I constitute 1/3 of the good mastership along with my Father and the Holy Spirit. I am the begotten Son of God. I am God. Anything to the effect that Jesus has some sort of divinity, because the man was giving him a fancy title. Now pay attention to the following information. Human beings must be humble. Human beings must be humble. Let's say you're a nurse. You're a nurse. And someone came and said to you, Doctor, what shall I give, you know, my son as medicine? You know, what do you prescribe for my son? Now, you as a genuine person, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say, excuse me, I'm not a doctor. I am a nurse. Dr. Robert, whatever his name is, Muhammad, is coming in a few minutes. When he comes, he can give you the prescription. He can prescribe the drugs for your son. I am not a doctor. Why? Because you have to keep it real. You have to be humble. You have to be humble. You can't accept a title that you don't earn or deserve. You don't accept a title which you haven't earned or deserved. So if someone called you professor and you're a teacher, you're not going to say, oh yeah, that. Now inside, we like it. Inside, as human beings, oh, that sounds nice. Oh, did you say professor? Did you say it again? But if you're a genuine person, you have to say, I know I like it, but I am not. If you don't do that, let's say they come and say, doctor, and you like it, say, nafi mushkila, no problem, let them think I'm a doctor, that sounds good. They don't have to know I'm a nurse. Second time, they call you doctor, so then you start liking it. Now, every time this lady sees you, every time she sees this doctor, and you start liking it, you never correct her. Then one day, when there's an emergency, and someone is dying, and they need a doctor, they call you doctor, you say, oh, I'm not a doctor, I'm a nurse. What's going to happen to you? They're going to say, what? For 10 years I've been calling you a doctor, you had no problem. Today, when we needed you, you decided to admit that you were a nurse all along and you were not a doctor. People will degrade you, defame you, belittle you, and put you down. Why? You were fake. You were faking it. You did not keep it real. You did not tell them the truth. You pretended to be something that you're not. They don't like it. Why? Human beings. That's us. We came from a sperm. Sperm and an egg. Sorry. Can't be something. Can't pretend to be something you're not. Now this is a human quality. But is that the quality of God? Is God humble? No. No. Allah, the Creator, is not humble. Humbleness does not befit the majesty of the Almighty. Pay attention. Al-Mutakabbir. Have you heard this in the Quran? هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. Allah is all powerful, almighty, irresistible, all knowing, all seeing, all hearing. All these qualities do not go hand in hand with humbleness, because that negates power and majesty and sovereignty. And these are the qualities of God. So God is not humble. Mutawadi is the quality of the son of Adam, that who came from clay, not the quality of the Almighty who created clay. Why am I making this an issue? Because here Jesus' answer will have is relevant to this concept. If Jesus were God, then this is not the time. He cannot be humble, because humbleness is not a quality of God. So he should acknowledge the good master title. He should acknowledge it, approve it, affirm it, and continue with it. He should have told them, according to what the Christians teach today, I am good, I am the good master, I'm the son of God, blah, blah, blah. But Jesus didn't. You know what he did? Do you know what Jesus said? Read the Bible, read the Bible. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, same story. And the one in Mark is more accurate and consistent in its wording than the one in Matthew. Jesus said to the man, why do you call me good? None is good but the one God. And some translation, none is good but one, and that is God. Beautiful. Did you see the message of Tawheed? Did you see the message of Islam in the Bible? The message of Islam in the Bible? Listen again. Pay attention. Jesus said, why do you call me good? Why? What makes you call me good, Master? Mind you, we both agreed Jesus was good. We both agreed Jesus was good. However, the man could have intended the ultimate goodness, the divine goodness, the supreme goodness, which belongs to God alone. Jesus, like all the prophets, they closed the door of shirk, they closed the doors of associated partners with God, so the automatic response was correcting the actual address of the man. Why do you call me good? None is good but the one God. We say to the Christians, look, in the Quran, Jesus said, Inni Abdullah, I am the slave of Allah. In the Bible, he told the man, why do you call me good? None is good but the one God. These are the same teachings. Who are you following? Who are you following? Why do you call me good? And as one of the du'at said, if Jesus refused to be called good with double O, how about calling him God with a single O? If he didn't entertain being called good, on what basis are you calling him God? Why do you call me good? None is good but the one God. Wallahi, this is La ilaha illallah. What do you think La ilaha illallah means? It means there's no true God. There's no true God that deserves worship but Allah, but the one God. None is good. None is goody good. None is good but the one God. Jesus teaching La ilaha illallah in the Bible. But where are those who read the Bible? Gone with the wind. But they listen to what the priest John 3:16, for God soul of the world, blah blah blah, fabricated nonsensical information that Jesus never said. They accept that. But what Jesus himself said, they reject. Beautiful. So you see the relation? Why do you call me good? None is good but the one God. that La ilaha illallah. Fine. Now the man has said two things. Why do you call, he said, oh good master, then the question, what thing shall I do to enter into the eternal life? He wanted to learn, what am I supposed to do to make it to eternal life? Question. Is this life of ours eternal? You don't have to answer. You can answer me without typing. Is this life you're living today, is it eternal? No. We all agree that eternal life is the life to come. The hereafter. The coming life. That's the eternal life. This is not eternal. This is temporary. This is temporary life. It will come to an end when you die. When is eternal life? You say paradise. Paradise and hellfire, but let's speak of paradise. Paradise is eternal life. Can anyone enter paradise without salvation? Can you enter paradise without a key? Can anyone enter paradise, or do they need to have some conditions? They need to meet some conditions and have some, you know, prerequisites to enter paradise. Everybody says no, paradise is not for everyone. Atheists are not going there for sure. Hindus, Jews, Christians, they're not going. You need to meet some conditions. What is the main condition, really? Salvation. In Islam, salvation is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And good deeds. But in Christianity, it's something else. But before I go there, pay attention now. Eternal life is paradise. Paradise is acquired through salvation. In other words, the man is asking about salvation. In physics, you may have learned, and in others, if A is equal to B, and B is equal to C, then A is equal to C. If A is equal to B, and B is equal to C, then A is equal to C. Common sense. If the eternal life is paradise, paradise is acquired through salvation, so then eternal life is salvation. And this is what the man was asking about. Now, according to the church today, any church, Jesus should, or if you want to enter into the eternal life, if you want to enter into the eternal life, accept me as your Lord and Savior. Believe that I will die on the cross for you. Believe that I will be crucified and my blood will be atonement and redemption for you. Believe that I will be crucified, buried, then resurrected, and I will judge you on the day of judgment. Believe in me as the Son of God. Anything that they teach today in the name of Jesus, Jesus should have said that, because the man was asking about salvation. It is not time to play games with the people. Guess what? Shock number two. Jesus said to the man, and if you want to enter into the eternal life, keep the commandments. Pay attention now. No redemption, no crucifixion, no resurrection, no Lord and Savior, none of that stuff. You want to go to paradise? Keep the commandments. You ask Jesus himself in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So Jesus told the man, if you want to go to paradise, you must keep the commandments, and the commandments are the belief system and the righteous deed. Thou shall not in Islam. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That's what he was speaking about. Except those who believe, love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, and they do righteous deeds. These are the people of paradise. That's how you acquire salvation. So you say to the Christian, listen, everything Jesus said in these biblical verses of yours, I implement in my life today as a Muslim. I am the true follower of Jesus. Not only in his teachings there, which are consistent with the Islamic ones, but even in his way of life. Even in circumcision, Muslim men are circumcised. Even in prostration, in Matthew chapter 26 verse 39, Jesus fell on his face, he did sujood, prostration, begging Allah to save him from the crucifixion. Begging Allah, let this cup pass me, but not as I will, but as you will. Not according to what I will, but as you will. This is Matthew 26 verse 39. Who prays? Who falls on his face when they pray? Muslims. Who has a beard? Jesus. Didn't Jesus have a beard? Who had a beard? People of the beard. Who used to wear robes? The Muslims. So we imitate Jesus in his belief system, in his acts of worship, in his even dress code, because these were some common things with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not following really Jesus. We're following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by doing so, we wind up following the prophets and the messengers. But who is closer to Jesus? The Muslims or the Christians? We, the Muslims, are. We believe him when he said that there's, why do you call me good? None is good but the one God. And if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. This is our summary of life. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ. Say, verily my prayer, my sacrifice, my living and my death are for Allah, the Lord of the world. He has no partners. That's Islam. So I found that these quotations are effective in calling the Christians to wake up from their sleep and to realize that the true followers of Jesus today are the Muslims. So you quote the ayah in Surah Maryam, where Jesus said, Inni Abdullah, I am the slave of Allah. Then you couple that with Matthew 19, 16, 17, and Mark 10, 17, 18, to prove that Jesus kept his same teachings all along, which we Muslims follow today. Anything else is a lie against him. The least we can say, if they bring some other biblical verses that oppose that, the least you can say is now you have a contradiction in your Bible. And this is not the book of God. Because one verse Jesus says, I'm not good, don't call me good, only God is good. And salvation is through keeping good deeds. Then you're going to give me a verse where he said he's God and he's the Son of God. Now you're contradicting, the Bible is contradicting itself. Then I don't rely on it anymore. So that becomes a proof for you. If they claim otherwise, say look at the contradictions in your book. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not look carefully, reflect and contemplate upon the Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found therein much differences and contradiction. So the sign with which you identify a book, whether it is from God or not, is by how many contradictions it has. And the Quran has zero, and the Bible has thousands. The least of which is when you quote the verses I gave you, and they quote something else, there's a contradiction. We have to accept one. Alhamdulillah, that's one of the approaches you may have in giving da'wah to the Christians. There are many other topics which can be discussed, but time does not allow to elaborate. Perhaps we will have a session 3, inshallah, on how to give da'wah to the Christians. We want to tackle all the various angles, so because these are the most common encounter, and so we could be, you know, fully equipped with the necessary evidences to bring the point home. It's Allah Azza wa Jal who guides, but the better you make it sound and the more accurate your speech is, the more the chances of them accepting Islam and being convinced by you bi-idhnillahi Azza wa Jal. And with that, inshallah, I conclude my short speech, or maybe it was a long one today. And we can take in some questions right now. The monitors can further guide you on how to do so. Barakallahu feekum. Can you please tell, I guess, the type of shirk that the Jews have fallen into and explain with evidences why Muslims regard Jews as polytheists despite their belief in one God? The Jews, sister, are at different categories and denominations. Per the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, some of the Jews said, Al-Uzayr ibn Allah. وقالت اليهود العزير ibn Allah. And some of the Jews said that Uzayr is the son of God. And once they said that he is the son of God, then obviously this is a form of polytheism, because they are claiming that there's one God has a son, then he must be like his father. They must be of the same kind. And if there's a son God, then you have two gods, and that's exactly what polytheism is. That's exactly what a polytheist is. Someone who believes or worships or adores and deifies and venerates two gods. But that's not all Jews. The Jews really fell into the issue of polytheism predominantly in their accusation of giving Allah the evil qualities. Yani the major aspect of disbelief among the Jews is the fact that they gave Allah, they described Allah with qualities that do not befit His Majesty. As Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةً. Afwan, let me move my hand. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةً. غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَقَالُوا بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ يُنْفِقُ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. And the Jews said, Allah's hand is tight. They said, Allah is miserly. Allah does not spend. So Allah refuted them by saying their hands may be tight. Rather, both of His hands are stretched out. He spends as He wills. So the Jews here described Allah as being miserly. Another ayah, the Jews said, نَحْنُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَّ. They said, Allah is poor and we are rich. Why? Because Allah had said in an ayah before, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ. Who is it that will give Allah a good loan? So Allah will multiply the reward for him. So the Jew said to the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is asking for a loan. God needs a loan from us. Oh, so God is poor and we are rich. So the Jews fell into basically undermining the greatness of Allah, belittling Him, requesting to see Him live. They wanted to see Allah, you know, just right there in front of them. And other things that made them to become among the polytheists. Others among them, they may not have any issues with their belief in the oneness of God. However, they deny the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, which is kufr. So it may not be shirk per se, but it's a form of kufr, disbelief, not a form of kufr. It is disbelief to reject anything which Allah revealed or any messengers which Allah sent. So the Jews themselves are at various categories. Depending on which reason they are following into disbelief, they're disbelievers, depending on the reason. Some of them because of, you know, attributing children to Allah, and others because they gave Allah deficient qualities, and others because they reject the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and so on and so forth. They're not all at the same level, but all of them are actually guilty of disbelief. طيب. The next question. is any hadith that says to recite Surah Hajj on the day of Arafah. No such narration. And if someone recites Surah Al-Hajj on the day of Arafah, he has committed an innovation and Allah will not accept that deed. Allah will not accept it. No, you don't recite Surah Al-Hajj on the day of Arafah. No, you don't. Next. Oh. Beautiful, beautiful question. The question, am I supposed? Basically, let me give you the summary of the question is that while we Muslims always claim that the Bible is corrupted, we still use it as a reference. So why is that? Isn't that contradiction? On the one hand, we say it's corrupted, it's not reliable, you cannot use it. And on the other hand, we say, you know, it says in Matthew, it says in Mark, it says in John, it says in Luke. And that appears to be a contradiction. The answer is, no, it is not. It is not a contradiction. Let me explain to you why. Look. Let's say the teacher gave out a book for revision before the final exams. Before the final exams, at the end of the school year, the teacher gave you a book for revision. And he distributed that among the students. And everybody took his copy and they started studying home. At home, they started studying the book. However, because it's the end of the school year, many students stopped going to school. They said, I'm going to spend the last days at home studying. I hope everybody is keeping up with me. They said, I will remain at home and study. I will not go to school. However, in the meantime, the teacher realized that there were some errors which he made in the book, the first book he issued to the students. He had missed out some things or gave some wrong information, wrong references, whatever. When the students came back to school, remember, some of them continued to go to school and others are at home. They stopped going to school. The teacher told the students that came to school, guys, you know, I made a mistake. The old revision book you have is invalid. The old revision book you have is invalid. I have made an edited version of that revision book. And this is the authorized one that I want you to use. Why? Because it is revised, edited, and protected by the teacher himself. Following me? They say fine. Now the job of the students that attend school is to convey this information to the students who have not come to school, who stopped going to school. And indeed, they return home and they start calling their friends. He calls one of his other friends who hasn't come to school, and he says, look, the teacher said such and such and such. You need to receive a new copy. Where are you? He says, I'm out of the country. He calls him on his cell phone. He says, I'm out of the country. And he says, oof, what am I going to do? You need the new book. You need the new revision book. The old one is invalid. He says, wait a second. What are the differences the teacher made? Open your book. So they both open their books. The new student realizes that the half of the book has been changed and the other half remains the same. There were some modifications. It wasn't changed altogether. The other student who's abroad does not have means or access to receive this book, assuming they didn't have a scanner, he couldn't scan it and email it to him. So he says to him, listen to me. Each one of us will open his book, his revision book. Anything which is consistent, whatever information the teacher did not change, I will highlight it so I can keep it as my reference. All the new things he changed, I will have to live without. I will have to ignore the other information which I cannot verify. However, if he says on page 11, he has a paragraph, and on my page, there's the same paragraph, then I'm not going to say this is invalid. Even though the teacher said this is invalid, that piece of information is the same in the old revision book and the new revision book. So, the old student who's abroad may use the information which is consistent with the new revision book because it's better than nothing. And we cannot say, no, everything in this book is wrong because the teacher only modified it. He did not change it altogether. You see where I'm going? Tayyib, how do you understand this today? Look, we have the Quran. The Quran is the preserved book from God. Without a doubt, anything in the Quran is believed and accepted. So when we look at the Bible, which we believe the Gospel was given to Jesus, the Torah was given to Moses, when we find in the Old Testament and the New Testament references that are harmonious and consistent with the Quran, then we assume that these are from the teachings which were preserved. And when we find that they oppose the Quran, then we assume and we are certain that these are from the teachings that were distorted. So we use the Bible, using the Quran as the foundation and the reference to which we can verify the authenticity or the inauthenticity of the biblical verses. It's not playing games. It's only logical and fair. The Quran is reliable. You bring me a biblical verse similar to that, then I believe that this is from God. You give me something that contradicts, mine is stronger than yours, then this is from God, this is not. Now, this is why you find Muslims who say the Bible is distorted quoting biblical verses, because they prove an Islamic belief that we already hold. That's very important. Otherwise, if the Bible said something which is not confirmed in Islam, I will neither believe it nor deny it. If the Bible mentioned a teaching that Islam neither approved nor denied, then my position as a Muslim is I don't say this is a lie because it may be true. And I don't say this is correct because it may be a lie. But anything that is in the Quran or the Sunnah, and the Bible affirms, then we affirm it because the Quran and the Sunnah affirmed it. Anything which opposes the Quran and the Sunnah, we reject it because it's rejecting the Quran and the Sunnah. So, this is why we quote the Bible, because of that principle I explained to you right now. I have 2 more minutes, inshallah. Then I have to hit the road because it's almost Maghrib over here. A question says, is it true that most of the people who will be fighting with Jesus, peace be upon him, when he comes back will be from the room, Europeans and Americans who have accepted Islam? Allahu A'lam. We know that the people who Jesus will fight against will be the Jews. As far as I know, it will be the Jews and the false Messiah. The Jews and the false Messiah. I don't know about the rooms. The individual who said that nothing in the New Testament is in the Quran, I'm sorry, my friend, this is an inaccurate statement, and I kindly request of you to make your research and study the material before you make such a claim. Before you make such a claim, this is a major fallacy. To say that there's nothing in the New Testament which is in the Quran, this is a major fallacy. In fact, you will find that many of the teachings that are found in the New Testament that Jesus said with his own tongue are found in the Quran. I'll give you an example. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said, "Of that hour, of that day or hour, no one knows, no one knows. Not even the angels, not even the Son, but only the Father." So in that verse, Jesus was saying that no one knows the day of judgment but God. And Allah says in the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا. They ask you about the last day. When is it going to happen? where are you? How would you know when the time of it shall come? So the Bible, the New Testament claims that no one knows the last day, and the Quran claims that no one knows the last day but God. So how can you say that there's nothing in the New Testament which is in the Quran? I'm sorry, my friend, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. And I can give you hundreds of other references as well. No, don't worry about it. It's okay. You are excused. My main objective is that you realize the truth. I'm not trying to be victorious here. That you will find many other, my friend. Not only the one I quoted to you. If you really read both of them thoroughly, you will find a lot of consistency and harmony between the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. But keep in mind, the Quran is superior to everything and all other books and revelations. Thank you very much. The last question, because I do have to go, guys. What is your advice in my marriage? What to do when a wife has no real deep feelings for her husband from the moment she married, which caused problems and such? Okay, I don't think this question should be addressed publicly. I do suggest that the sister sends an email to the monitors, who will forward it to me, and inshallah I will try to respond via email to this particular question. With that, inshallah, we conclude the dars. Jazakumullah khairan. And I apologize for last ouch. I apologize for last Tuesday. The technician who was fixing the neighbor's phone ruined ours and the internet in the process. He did fix it before the time of the class ended, but there was only 15 minutes left and I had to go to a meeting, so I did not join you. I sincerely apologize. It was beyond my ability and control. So inshallah, I strictly and try to avoid, you know, missing classes and canceling unless there's a dire need. But I had a valid reason which was beyond my ability. Jazakumullah khair anyways for understanding. And we look forward to seeing you in the future. Jazakumullah khair. Forgive me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.